This is not my area of expertise, other than the fact that I have a pre-existing condition. In fact, a couple of them. I've got a prosthetic knee, and I got a, some call it a brain tumor, some call it a massive concussion. But the truth is, I got a spot on my brain, which if I don't get enough sleep can cause me to seize. So those are pre-existing conditions, which means that it's tough for me, or would have been tough for me, to ever transfer jobs. I want to find out how this is going. I want to visit with Mary Wakefield. She's a North Dakota native and administrator of Health Resources and Services Administration. That's an agency of the Department of Health and Human Services. Linda Ross, Chief Executive Officer of CHAT, Community Healthcare Association of the Dakotas, which represent health centers in both North and South Dakota. And so I first off want to welcome Mary to the show. Mary, it's been a while since we talked. Good to have you on News and Views.
Good morning, Joel. It's a pleasure to be with you.
I want to tie in with Linda Ross as well. Linda, good to have you on News and Views.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Let's report card this a little bit. I want to find out, and Mary, first to you, how is, we hear all the negative, the rough rollout, everything with the Affordable Care Act. How is it going?
Well, you're right, Joel. It was a rough rollout back in October, but the good news is that was back in October. Things have been going really, really well since then in terms of getting people enrolled, and folks have only to go to healthcare.gov, that website, in order to start that enrollment process. And it's especially been the case over the last couple of months. Do you know, just last week, Joel, we announced that we have now 5 million people who have been to the website and who have enrolled in healthcare coverage across the United States. We want to make sure that, or I want to make sure, I should say, that's happening in North Dakota, too. So it's a pleasure to talk with you this morning about it.
Well, and that's one of the reasons we wanted Linda Ross included in this conversation. Yours is more a practical perspective from a national. Linda, how are we doing in the Dakotas? The legislatures of the Dakotas didn't exactly embrace or build the exchanges, which were a conduit to all of this. So how are we doing?
Well, we're doing much better than we were before. We've got 5 community health centers in North Dakota, Coal Country Family Health Care, Migrant Health Service, Northland and Valley Community Health Centers, and they are super busy with people trying to get enrolled in the marketplace because there is a need. People have found out that they're available there to help them with the system, and they are signing folks up and really helping them through the process. So things have picked up, especially with the turnaround time being March 31st.
As the deadline looms, and it's not far away, Linda, where do you see? Do you see attitudes changing, or do you see people still just saying, I don't want to be any part of this?
You know what? We do see attitudes changing. You know, we, as an association for both North and South Dakota, you know, work with our health centers very closely on what's going on and report that up to HRSA, Mary's office. And, you know, at first it was tough, especially when the system wasn't working as great as it could have been. But, you know, I think now that people are getting enrolled and they are actually seeking services, they're much more positive and they're talking to their friends who are now starting to see the benefits and are coming out to also try to receive those benefits of not having to worry about what am I going to do about health insurance.
Mary, on a national perspective, there are people who are telling me that they lost their health care to get their health care back, that they thought they had to spend more money. Their costs were not supposed to go up. What's our answer to those people?
Well, Joel, the plans that are made available and their private insurance plans on the marketplace, when people go to healthcare.gov, they'll see choices there. And they can choose among different types of plans with different levels of coverage. So the one of the most important parts of all of this, I think, is that people actually have choices. They can select among various plans when they go to the website and choose the plan that's actually best for them.
So why is it when I look at a MinSure or I look at other states around me with a bigger population base, I see many more choices than what North Dakota has? Mary?
So those decisions, Joel, are made locally. And we've been looking at the variation in numbers of plans that are available by states across the country. for a while, what we were seeing, or what people were saying, is that there could be some rural versus urban differences in terms of the availability of plans. But that's actually not what our research is bearing out. What we are seeing are choices that are being made by insurance companies differently, because, of course, this does pivot off of private health insurance and the decisions that insurance companies make about where they want to offer their plans. So the difference is not so much rural versus urban, rather it's regional, and that some health insurance plans are made available by company's choice in some parts of the country, and that can be different from other parts of the country. But it's regional, not so much rural urban.
Linda, you heard the discussion I was having earlier about whether or not certain individuals ever supported the idea of Social Security or Medicare. Does the Affordable Care Act strengthen or weaken Medicare?
I think it strengthens it. You know, it's all about getting coverage for everybody, because people need health care insurance and needs the ability to take care of those things. Certainly in North Dakota, we've got families who are hardworking, farmers, whatever the case may be, but they don't have that health care option for whatever reason that might be. This gives them the option to have health care, affordable health care for their families, and it takes that burden off of them and also sets their mind at ease that they don't have to worry about where the money's going to come, or they're going to lose their farm, or whatever the case may be if something should happen within their family.
Well, go ahead, Mary.
If I might just come in on behind what Linda just said about Medicare beneficiaries, because, of course, we have a lot of senior citizens in North Dakota who care about the status of Medicare. And, in fact, Medicare solvency has improved already across the United States. So this is across the entire country. As a result of the Affordable Care Act, we've seen over 7 million individuals who are Medicare beneficiaries saving just about $9 billion on their prescription drug costs. And that is as a direct result of the Affordable Care Act. But if you want to look at North Dakota in particular, we have now almost 10,000 Medicare beneficiaries, people living across our great state, who have saved over $22 million as a result of the Affordable Care Act. And, you know, that averages out as a savings to about $791. That's the prescription coverage, the prescription drug coverage gap that's being closed. It's a gap that's referred to sometimes as a donut hole, and that donut hole is going to be eliminated by 2020. So in other words, a break that has existed in some prescription drug coverage for certain Medicare beneficiaries is being eliminated, and we're well on our way as a result of the Affordable Care Act to making that happen.
So last question before I end up getting bombarded with calls, and here's the one that I'm really curious about. I get hit with this all the time. Mary, I'm going to direct this to you. People look at me and say, you supported the Affordable Care Act and government involvement in health insurance. And I say, yeah, you know, and I give them my reasons, and they say, yep, and you said it would keep down the costs of health care and the costs of insurance. And it hasn't done that, Joel. Look at what I got for a premium increase from Sanford or from Blue Cross this year. It hasn't done that. What's your answer to that, Mary?
So I'd say a couple of things. First of all, when you think about the cost of health care, the Congressional Budget Office, which is a nonpartisan organization that advises the U.S. Congress, the CBO has indicated that the Affordable Care Act for the government does not add a dime to the deficit and also has the impact of lowering the long-term debt for the country. If you look at the recent data across the United States on health care costs, it's great good news. Health care costs have been growing, really growing at the slowest rate in decades since the law was passed. So you're starting to see those trend lines going forward, and I think that we'll be looking forward to more of that.
All right. I want you both to hold on, because if we're in this, we're all in it together. I want you guys to take some phone calls, too, if I can, and we'll do that. First, I got to go to Terry Spees and find out what's going on in our weather center. Terry, you're on News and Views, and you've got to tell me that it's going to be 90 degrees tomorrow.
Well, I'm not going to tell you that, but we do have a warm-up coming this upcoming weekend you'll probably like, but kind of an active weather pattern setting up for this.
All right. right, I want to get and tie in Linda Ross with some of the callers that we have in. Linda, are you still there with me, Linda?
Yes, I am.
All right, I've got you. Let's tie you in with Don. Don, do you have a question with Linda?
Yeah. Number one, the question was not about the national debt. The question was, what do you say to people whose premiums have increased because of this bill, number one? And number two, of your wonderful set of numbers, I know you guys are reading off a check card. Okay, how many of those people that supposedly have signed up had existing health plans that, according to the president, if they liked, they could keep? So let's get to the truth and not just talking points.
All right, that's a good – I get what you're getting at. Linda, go ahead with those two.
Well, what do I say? I say that there are the counter is there are a lot of people who have reduced premiums. Yes, there may be some that are going to have an increase, but there are lots who have a reduced premium. There are lots who have insurance for the very first time. That's a big deal for people because they do have pre-existing conditions. They do have life situations that have not been, they've not been able to have health insurance and had that benefit. So, you know, not everything is going to work 100% great 100% of the time.
Linda, but do you ever dig into the health policies of the individuals who have seen rate increases, mostly because now it actually has to cover something, and point out to them that, hey, your previous insurance policy really didn't do squat?
Well, as community health centers, we need to be careful with regards to how we talk with people and what policies that they have or may be getting. We're not there to advise them on a particular policy is better or worse than another. So we stay away from that because the community health centers are there to just help people enroll in the process.
But you see what I'm getting at.
Mm-hmm.
Many of the policies that were dropped didn't meet the criteria of what you had to have in today's world for healthcare.
Correct.
I have a friend who thought he had great coverage. He went in and basically found out it didn't pay anything. And now with the new standard of what health insurance has to do, there's a premium increase when in fact what you bought really didn't do anything, Linda.
Right. There are certainly many more things that are being covered under policies now under the Affordable Care Act, which perhaps people didn't have covered before. And that is obviously, if you just looked at it from a dollars and cents point of view, I suppose, yeah, you might be paying a little bit more, but you're paying for more services or more opportunities for preventative type things that you didn't have before in your catastrophic plan.
Let's get to Dwight. Dwight, you're on with Linda. Go ahead, Dwight.
I'd just like to say I had a policy in North Dakota through Blue Cross. It was $1,200 and some bucks a month. And we are on MinSure, I live just across the river. Look, we looked in there. We bought another policy. It was better on every line. You know, no charge for ambulance, on and on and on. And went down over $200 a month we're saving through the new policy because of the competition brought to the marketplace by these outfits after competing on the website.
Okay, thanks, Dwight. Linda, are you hearing more stories like that?
Yeah, we are hearing more stories. Situations are different, but, we're hearing more for people who didn't have anything and now have something, and that's huge for them. So that's a lot of what we hear because of the work in the community health centers.
Are young people embracing this at all?
More and more are. I think that was a slow start because young people sometimes don't think that they need to have that type of coverage and don't, you know, they're not concerned about the future as much. But I think with help and reaching out to that demographic, we are getting them on board. And I think their parents are helping them understand it's an important component for them as a young person and they need to have it.
Linda, thank you for coming on. Chief Executive Officer of the Community Health Care Association of the Dakotas.